Hoffaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
There's no such thing as a Sunday Christian. If you're not a Christian Monday through Sunday, are you really a Christian?
That was Evangelist Steve Pettit, our guest speaker today on Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today, our special guest, Dr. Steve Pettit, takes us to the book of James as we listen to a portion of a message called How to Handle Trials.
Turn to the book of James. James 1, verse 1. The Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now, folks, every time you read the Bible, always remember every word that God writes is from heaven. That means every word's important. Amen? And he just introduced to us not only who the author of the book is, but who he's writing to. And it also lets us know the circumstances that they're living under. Because you know what? Everybody lives under circumstances. He says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes. Immediately that identifies the people that he's writing to are Jewish believers in Christ. Because the 12 tribes are the children of Israel. And the Bible says they are scattered abroad. What does that mean? It means that they were driven from their homes and they were in persecution, running away from people that were trying to take their lives. So let's put it real simple. These were God's people who were suffering because of the circumstances of their day. And so he writes them and he says, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I was reading this verse one time to my children and I interpreted it this way. I said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. One of my children corrected me because they had just memorized that verse and they said, Daddy, you didn't say it right. The Bible says diverse temptations. I said, do you know what diverse means? They said, yes, these guys that jump off the diving board. I said, no, it means various or many different or diverse temptations. And then he says in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I want to speak on the subject, how to face your trials. The author of this book was a fellow named James. Now, there are many Jameses in the New Testament. Do you know which James this is? We know the James who had a brother named John, the sons of Zebedee, who were disciples of the Lord Jesus. But this is not that James. There's also another James in the disciples of Jesus called James the Less or James the son of Alphaeus. That is not this James. But this James is the half-brother of Jesus Christ, whose mother was Mary and his father was Joseph. Now, this James is a very interesting figure in the New Testament because this James did not accept Jesus Christ, his brother, as his own Savior until after the death of Jesus, his brother. For the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 7 that when Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, he appeared to many people. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to the disciples. He appeared to over 500 brothers at once. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 7 that he came and he appeared to his unbelieving brother named James. And when James saw his half-brother Jesus in his resurrected body, then he believed that he was the Son of God. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh? James was a believer. And history says that he also had another name, and that is he was called Camel Knees. And there was a reason for that, because he spent so much time on his knees, they became like leather and they looked like the knees of a camel. James, the half-brother of Jesus, was martyred for his faith, put to death in 62 AD, over 30 years after the death of his half-brother Jesus. And this letter, or this epistle that James wrote, is the oldest New Testament writings that we have. It was written in 48 AD. And it was written in a very practical manner to help God's people live in this world. Do you know what, folks? God is concerned about your daily living in this world. There's no such thing as a Sunday Christian. If you're not a Christian Monday through Sunday, are you really a Christian? And when we look at living the Christian life, we have to learn how to live the life in a very practical daily lifestyle. And the first thing that James addresses when he talks to the believers is how to face their trials and problems. Because folks, let me tell you something. The most common thing that we all have in common is that every one of us have problems. How many of you have had a problem in the last month? How many of you have had a problem in the last week? How many of you had some problems today? You know what? It doesn't matter what your language is. It doesn't matter what society you've grown up in. Wherever you've come from, it is a guarantee that if you're a child of God, you're going to have problems and troubles. And so we have to learn how to face our trials God's way. And I want us to see the seven steps in facing trials God's way. Notice, first of all, that we are to face God's trials that come in our life. We're to face these trials expectantly. Look at verse 1. He says, James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. The very fact that he is saying scattered abroad meant that they were in the middle of a trial. They had been dispersed. They had been persecuted. They were scattered from their home and they are living in a problem. And then the Bible says here in verse 1 that he greets them and he says, brothers, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or various trials. First of all, folks, we should expect the fact that we as the people of God are going to have problems. You know, when I got saved at the age of 19 years old, one of the first lessons that I was taught is that now that I'm a Christian, I'm going to have some problems. You know, I thought now that I'm a Christian, everything's going to be great. And this guy, I am so thankful, did not sit down and say, Steve, now that you're saved, everything's going to be wonderful. Now that you're saved, everything's going to be great. Now that you're saved, you're going to really have a party. I am so glad that he said to me, Steve, now that you are saved, you're going to have problems. And boy, was he right. Because folks, if you are a Christian, I can guarantee you this. Either you are getting ready to go into a trial, you're in the middle of a trial, or you've just gotten out of one. And when the seas are calm and everything's okay, I've got my eyes out for the next storm coming. And if you are a child of God, folks, you should expect trials. What does the Bible say in 1 Peter 4 and verse 12? He says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you as though some strange thing has happened unto you. Folks, there's a tendency to think that if we have a trial, God is picking on us. And folks, God is not picking on you. God is preparing you to become like Jesus Christ. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. And folks, if you're a child of God, you should expect a trial. What is a trial? You know what a trial is? It's God's schoolhouse for Christian maturity. Do you know why you have to go through trials? Because you have to grow up in your faith. And folks, do we think it's strange that children have to go to school? Do you think it is strange for an 8-year-old to have to wake up in the morning and he can't imagine that his parents would actually make him go to school? Or do we expect the fact that that is a part of life? And folks, trials are God's way of maturing us. God is sending us through the school of faith, and that school is through trials. And notice what James says. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall. That word fall there means that you don't look for them, they look for you. You know what, folks? You don't have to look for a problem. All you have to do is wake up in the morning. All you have to do is open up the front door and they are waiting there to greet you every single day. And so folks, as a child of God, mark it down. You face trials expectantly. And then number two, how do you face trials? You face trials joyfully. This is where we really prove what kind of faith we have. And that is when we go through a trial, do we face them joyfully? Do we face them with confidence, or do we face them with depression or anger or bitterness or confusion? How do you face your trials? You say, Steve, that is so strange to me to be joyful about a trial. I mean, think about it. Could you imagine, you know, ladies, you've gone to shopping and here you are in the parking lot. You've gone to the big mall and you come out from the mall and you walk out at your and look at your car and somebody backed into your car and smashed it. But they didn't stay long enough to say, I'm sorry. And then you have to drive it home. And then your husband comes home and he walks in and he says to you, well, sweetheart, how has your day been? And you go, oh, it's been the greatest day of my life. We just got our car smashed. And then he looks at you and says, oh, this has been the greatest day of my life. I just got fired from my job. I mean, folks, human nature does not rejoice in difficult circumstances. And yet the Bible says that we are to rejoice. Why? Because of what a trial does for you, folks. Because when God uses a trial, He's literally using it to change and make and mold your life like Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that the trying of our faith is more precious than gold. Now, if somebody walked up to you and they handed you a check, and you opened up the check, and the check said $100,000 and had your name written in it, would you rejoice? I hate to tell this story because it's almost too funny to tell, but I was preaching in a church a number of years ago, and every night after church, a man walked by and shook my hand. And when he shook my hand, it's kind of funny, but he actually put a check in my hand every single night. The first night I opened up the check, it was $100. Next night I stood there and I was shaking hands, he came out, put another check in my hand. I opened it up. It was $100. Next night, man, I was standing at a door. Fact is, I was trying to extend the meeting of that revival for a longer period of time. And every time that man walked by, I still don't know what his name was, but every time he walked by, he gave me $100. Man, I like that guy. He is my friend. I enjoy him. Now, the Bible says the trying of your faith is more precious than gold. Because what is God doing in the middle of the trial? He is building your faith and your confidence in God. And the Bible says that we are to rejoice. And what is rejoicing? It is an act of faith. It is a conscious commitment to believe that God rules over my life and has allowed these things in my life for my good and ultimately for His glory. And what does faith say? Faith says, Lord, I don't understand, but I don't need to understand when I know who's in control.
Thank you for listening to today's message with our guest speaker, Evangelist Steve Pettit. For more information on Dr. Pettit's ministry, visit spea.org. That's spea.org. Dr. Pettit has been our guest today on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.